We are so blessed and honored to have each and every one of you here today. If you are a guest here today, we want to let you know how appreciative that we are, that you have honored us with your presence. We mean that. Let's give all of our guests a hand clap of appreciation. We do not take it lightly that you are here. I also want you to understand that it is not by accident that you are here. The holy God of all heaven and earth ordained for you to be here. For he has a word and a touch that he is going to pour out in your life if you will be open to it. If you will, you can leave this place changed forever by the power of the Holy Ghost. If you're willing to be open to it, receptive to it, you will leave this house changed by the power of Almighty God. Somebody said amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now watch. For he that cometh to God, the simple act of coming to God, must believe that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is telling us that in order for us to come to God in faith, just the act of coming to God in faith, we must first believe that he is God. Or else why would we come to him? We must first believe that he is who he says he is. Understand, for me to come to God as my healer, I must first believe that he has the power to heal. You come to God, must believe that he is. I come to him as healer. It's because I understand him to have the ability to heal. To come to God as my Savior, I must first believe that he has the power to save. To come to my God, to God as deliverer, I must first believe that he has the power to deliver. So we see, and this is so simple today, but this is what God told me to talk to us about. We see that the simple act of merely presenting yourself before the Lord is an act of faith, because you have positioned yourself before him because you believe that he can do what he said he can do. The simple act of just coming to God means that you first must have believed that he is God. Oh, hallelujah. You positioned yourself before him because you truly had the faith to believe that he can change your life. Because what good is a God if he can't change a life? You positioned yourself before him because you truly had the faith to believe that he could erase all of the wrong that is currently in your life. Why? Because you believe that he is God. You positioned yourself before him because you truly had the faith to believe that he could change things that seemed unchangeable, fix things that seemed unfixable, and redeem things that seemed unredeemable. You are the God that can do those things. You are the only one that can do those things. And because I believe you are God and able to do those things, I act upon that belief by coming to you. The act of coming to God. When we position ourselves before the Lord, that doesn't mean that we know how he's going to do it. He doesn't say, you come to me because you have me figured out. He said, you come to me because you just know I'm God. So we don't position ourselves because we know how he's going to do it. We position ourselves before God and we come unto God because we know that he will do it. Not because we know how he will do it, but because we know that he will. It don't matter how he does it. I don't need to know how he does it. That's not why I'm going to him. I'm going to him because I believe that he's going to do it. However he wants to do it is fine because he's God and he can do what he wants to do. I'm just going before him because I know he can. God, I am coming before you today because I truly believe that you have the ability to fix my problem. I don't know how you're going to do it, but that's irrelevant and it doesn't matter at all. I just know that you have the power to perform what you promised. Ooh, and so I just come to him. Oh, the act. The act, the simple act of positioning yourself to him lets him know they believe I'm God. Let me show you from the word of the Lord. Luke chapter 17 and verse 12. Luke 17 and verse 12. And as he, Jesus, entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. 10 men that were lepers positioned themselves, came unto him. And they stood afar off because of their leprosy. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, Master over everything, Master over every disease, Master over every sickness, Master over every pain. Oh, hallelujah. Master over everything I might be facing today, Jesus. Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Notice, these men couldn't get real close to Jesus because the law of that day said if you have leprosy, you can't get close to people that didn't have leprosy. You had to distance yourself somewhat from everyone else. But what I want you to see is that it was no accidental meeting between the lepers and Jesus. It was not Jesus walking into town and the lepers just happened to be walking by and there was an accidental meeting between the two. I do not believe that was the case at all. But I believe that these 10 lepers, because of the need and the problem of the infirmity that was in their life, they positioned themselves. They came unto him. They met him because they believed that he could heal them. They made a point to come before the Lord because they knew that he had the power to change their life. Even when their physical situation looked hopeless, and even when the pain in their bodies was so intense that they couldn't take another moment of it, even when suffering seemed like it would be their constant companion, they still came before the Lord. They positioned themselves before the Lord because they believed, in spite of the pain, that he could heal their bodies. They came to him. They came to him. And I've come to tell somebody today that it doesn't matter what your sickness is, and it doesn't matter what your disease is, and it doesn't matter what your physical infirmity might be. If you'll simply come before the Lord today, you don't have to get everything right. You don't have to get everything fixed. You don't have to make everything good. You just got to come before the Lord, because you coming before the Lord is an act of faith that lets God know they believe that I am God. He has the power when you come before him in such a manner. When you position yourself before God, it puts you in a place where healing can happen to you. Where's Austin at? Austin, are you here? Just stand up. That's Austin. You may be seated. Last Sunday, he had had surgery on his mouth, and he was in a tremendous amount of pain. I don't know the extent of it, but it was extreme amount of pain. And last Sunday, as worship service was going forth, just like worship service was going forth here today, he came up and he positioned himself. It didn't need to take 37 people around him and laying hands, and nothing against that, but it doesn't take that, because it just takes someone who's willing to position themselves to come before the Lord. And when you come before the Lord in faith, believing that he is God, my friend, do you understand the revelation that happens when you get it deep down inside of your spirit that he is God? When you know that you know that you know that he is God, then everything else looks small. Then everything else looks little. With your sickness pales, your problem pales, your dilemma pales in comparison of your understanding. He is God. So he came up and he's standing over there, positioned himself, placed himself before his understanding of the in revelation of the knowledge that he had that God is his God. And it wasn't too much longer till he runs up to me and I'm praying. He comes up, "Pastor, Pastor, Pastor, God just healed me. I don't have any pain in my mouth. I don't have any pain anywhere. God just healed me." Why? Because it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what the pain is. It doesn't matter what the problem is. If you'll position yourself. For those of you that might have missed it, his mama. Come on, God's doing some stuff in your family now. His mama just can't. Just, can you stand? Sister Caress right here. She came up to me. She wanted prayer for two specific things. First one was for healing for some stuff in her heart, just emotional, spiritual stuff. The other one was, you had what kind of cyst? A Baker cyst in the back of her knee. Come here. I don't want to embarrass you. She hasn't. How long have you not been able to run? 7 months. Can you do it? Thank you. Look, hasn't been able to run, hasn't been able to jump, hasn't been able to do it for 7 months. But she presented, "I'm coming before you because I know you are God. I'm coming before you because I know you are God." And the act of coming before him is an act of faith that releases God to be God in your life. He
releases him to be healer. It releases him to be deliverer. It releases him to be savior. The act
of just coming to God. Put your hands together. Give God praise in this house. Oh! Oh! So my question in the house of the Lord today is this. Is there anybody who believes that God is a healer? Is there anybody in the house that would just join with Pastor right now and say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is God. And because he's God, he can do everything that he said he can do. His word is true. His word cannot fail. Woo! Now, healing. Somebody shout healing.
Healing.
Somebody shout deliverance. There is deliverance in this room. Physical healing and deliverance is in this room right now. I know I'm speaking to some in this room that are even right now bound by things that are bringing you hurt, bringing you suffering. They are literally tormenting you. Hear me now. I want to scream this and you miss it. There are people under the sound of my voice right now that spiritual opposition, spirits of the enemy, demonic forces have attached themselves to you because you've opened the door to them at some point in your life. And those spirits are not of God. And they are literally tormenting you. For some, you are here today and you are battling with the spirit of depression. You don't want to get out of bed. You don't want to see anybody. You don't want to be around people. You haven't laughed in years. You have no reason, you feel, for living. You are bound by the spirit of depression. For some, it might be the spirit of fear, that fear has so gripped you that you can barely move. Spirit of fear. For some, it's the spirit of an addiction. The spirit of addiction has got such a stronghold on you. For some, it might be a spirit of mental torment. It's just wreaking havoc in your thinking, your mind. I feel very strongly to address today the spirit of suicide. Someone in the room is thinking about it and contemplating it and thinking about how you're going to do it and how you're going to carry it out. Spirit of suicide is gripping you and it's getting tighter and it's getting tighter. For some, it might be a spirit of lust or a spirit of adultery. Others, it might be a spirit of greed. The spirit of mammon has attached itself to your life. For some, it might be a spirit of infirmity that opens the door to all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Hear me right now. Under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I don't want to address you. I want to address the spirit that is upon you. Every spirit that I just mentioned, every spirit that is in this room that is not of God that I did not mention, I address you now under the anointing of the God of all heaven to simply remind you that you have no authority in this room. For I saw you bow down to the God that is in me. You will tell you to go, and there's nothing you can do about it. Defeat is not something that is going to happen. Defeat is something that has already happened. I want you to notice something with me in the scripture. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 28. And when he, talking of Jesus, when he came to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes. Now watch. There met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Verse 29. And behold, they cried out, the spirits within the man cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." 32. And he said unto them one word, "Go." And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. Notice, the story begins by illustrating how fierce and powerful these evil spirits were in that area. So much so that the people that lived there could not even walk by the tombs. See, because when you're operating in your own flesh, you fear things. But I want you to notice that these seemingly fierce and powerful spirits came into the presence of the Lord, and they ask, "Are you going to torment us before our time? Are you going to upset the plans that we have made by making us leave?" But the thing I want you to notice is that Jesus never answers that question. He just stays silent. So the devils look around, see a bunch of pigs, and the devils say, "Lord, we're about to be cast out. We know it. No use fighting it. It's over." Jesus hasn't even talked to him yet. Jesus hasn't said a word to him yet. Not one word. And the devils are already looking around saying, "Okay, we got to go somewhere, because we're about to get kicked out of here." And Jesus just says, "Go." That's it. Go. And immediately, those men were delivered from every spiritual opposition that had them bound. What I want us to understand, and what I want every spirit in this room to understand, is that hell already knows that it's lost. Every enemy in this room already knows that it has been defeated. Every enemy in this room already knows the authority of God that is in this house has already taken precedent in this room, and therefore has the power to tell it to go, and it has to go. It's just waiting for someone to come unto God with faith that he truly is God, that he truly is a deliverer. It does not matter what force has held you today. It already knows that it will have to leave the moment you come into God and believe that God will deliver you, the moment you simply position yourself before God. Now, if you don't want to do it, if you want to laugh and goof around and slip on out and play games and all that stuff, it's not going to happen. But if you want to position yourself before God, if you want to come before God, hear me. I don't care how much junk is in your life. I don't care how much sin is in your life. It doesn't matter how many problems you've had. It doesn't matter how many mistakes you've made. It doesn't matter how far you have fallen. It doesn't matter how far away from God you've been. He didn't say fix this and get that right and get this right and get this right. Then I'll do. He said, no, all you've got to do is just come unto God. That's all you've got to do. Why? Why? Because in the act of coming to God, you are saying, you're God. And if you're God, then you are bigger than the spiritual opposition that has held me for years. If you're God, which I know you are, then you are big enough to break every chain that has been wrapped around me for years. Everything that has tormented my mind, everything that has tormented my life, everything that has tormented my future, it has to leave. It already knows it has to leave. The moment you come before God, it's the moment that spirit says, guys, let's look for somewhere else to go. Can I tell somebody right now that all of hell is trembling right now? Can I tell somebody that's been bound by every spiritual thing that is not of God for years, and it's wrecked you and it's wrecked your mind, it's wrecked your home, it's wrecked everything beautiful, it's stripped your anointing from you, it's stripped your calling from you? Can I tell you right now that the moment you take one step out of that pew, hell's going to take notice and it's going to start saying, guys, we're about to get out of here. We're about to leave. It's about to be over. We made a good run, but it's come to an end. Why? Because they're going to God. They're coming to God. That means they know that God is bigger than what we are. Come on, put your hands together. Woo! Put your hands together, giving praise in this house. Somebody let faith soar in this room. You may be seated very quickly. I've told the story before, I'm sure, but let me tell it again. Several years ago, I was here by myself. I was studying, working, and during the day, a knock on the door came. It was a lady that came to the house of God. She came here. She didn't call me. She came to the house of God. We brought her up and I began to talk with her. It was actually her and her husband and her kids. Began to talk to her, and immediately I knew there was a demonic presence upon her. She began to act out. She began to do all kinds of crazy things right over here. Literally, you know, the Bible talks about the man in the cemetery, in the tombs, that would rip his clothes off. You know, the Bible says that. If you never heard, I'm not making it up. He rips his clothes off. This lady, she literally began to try to tear her clothes off right here. Glad her husband was there. I'd given her a bottle of water. She took the water. She started flinging water everywhere. Started looking at me. You could just see hate in her eyes. How many know the enemy hates the authority that you have? It was as if hell knew, I'm about to get out of here. And I'm mad and I don't like it. Sitting right there. Here's the thing. I began to talk, and she started making all kinds of stuff. And I started trying to talk to her husband, figure out what was going on. There was a tormenting spirit on this woman that literally she had not slept for days. It had so tormented her. Let me tell you something. When you open yourself up to stuff, and you think, well, it's going to be fun. It's going to be pleasing to the flesh. It's going to be a good time. And you open up yourself. Don't you know that the enemy has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy you? To destroy you. She opened herself up to whatever, and that spirit attached to her, and it literally tormented her mind that for day after day after day, she could not sleep. She could not rest. She was going insane. She comes up and she sat right there in the front pew. And I just sat and I pulled the chair. We used to have chairs up here. I pulled them and I just sat there and I just looked at her. She was doing all this stuff and going crazy, looking at me all mad. And I just looked there. I was just waiting for the Holy Ghost to give me the release to do what he wanted me to do. And I felt the Holy Ghost tell me, go ahead and, cast that thing out. So by the authority of the Word of God. By the power of the name Jesus, I rebuke every spirit that is not of God. I rebuke every demon that is not of God that has attached yourself to this land. And she starts getting a little bit crazy, and I just with authority began to cast those things out. And I promise you, I watched, and she was just going crazy, and all of a sudden she just went. Dush. She looked at me, she closed her eyes, and she leaned over on the pew that fast and went to sleep. I got her legs and pulled them up on the deal. We had a blanket back there. I came and covered her up. And for several hours, she slept on the pew. I was working there. I come up and just wanted to check, make sure she's all right. When she woke up, she had a smile on her face. When she woke up, she went, Pastor, why? What happened? What happened to me? What happened? She had a smile. You could see joy all over that lady. You could see the peace of God. But what was it that made the difference? What made the difference is she came to the house of the Lord. Somewhere in the middle of all that mess, somewhere in the middle of all those tormenting spirits, somewhere there was something within her that let her know, if I can just get to God, if I'll just go to God. Woo. And I rebuke every lie of the enemy that's telling somebody right now that you can't get to God if you want to get to God. That is a lie from hell. If you want to get to God, you can get to God. I don't care how many spirits are on you. I don't care how many spirits are attached to you. I don't care if all hell itself is living inside of you. If you want to get to God, you can get to God. And let me tell you something else. Hear me right now. I don't know how many opportunities God's going to give you. I feel it. Say this in the Holy Ghost. I don't know how many opportunities God is going to give you. Sunday after Sunday, Thursday after Sunday, prayer meeting after prayer meeting, God is in this room and God falls in this house and you feel that compulsion. I know you do. Don't lie to me. You feel that compulsion. I need to get to that altar. I want to go to the altar. I want to go pray. I want to do this. I want to do that. But the spirits start talking to you and you listen to them more than you listen to God. It's not that God's not silent. It's that you're not listening and you choose to listen to the voice of the enemy instead of the voice of God. It's not that you can't come to God. It's that you refuse to come to God. You refuse to come to God. And so you stay in the mental anguish and the torment that you are in for months and months and years and years. And I'm telling you, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost right now, if you want to get to God, you can get to God. And the simple act of you just coming to God will be the faith, all the faith that you need in order for God to speak and in order for God to move and in order for God to cast out everything in your life that is not right. Man, listen to me. And I feel... Let me tell you who I'm upset with right now. I'm not upset with the person. I'm upset with that spirit. And I know this might be new to some, and I'm sorry if we're whatever. But I'm battling for somebody right here. And you know what? You can keep living in that depression, and you can keep living in that suffering, and you can keep living in that torment if you want to. But baby, I'm going to fight for you. I said, I'm going to pull for you. I'm going to preach to you. I'm going to talk to you under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to make it easy on you to keep living in that torment because that's not what God has ordained for you to live. He has come that you might have life and that you might have life more abundant.
more abundant life, and I want you to have more abundant life. I want your anointing to flow. I want you to operate under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I want your calling to measure forth.
Don't listen to that lie. Don't listen to that lie. Sister Linda, back there. I don't know if you can stand, but you want to stand? It's Sister Linda. I love that lady right there. One of the best Sunday school teachers I ever had right there. One of them. I had many, but she was one of them. You can be seated. Some of you might have known this story. I don't know if I told it or not, but let me tell you. And I asked her for permission. She said I could. Several years ago. And many of you don't know this about her. Several years ago. She had been backslid for years. She shows up to the house of God. Power of God fell in that place. She came to God. In a backslidden state, all messed up, she came to God. She came to God. She sat in the pew. Power of God fell in that place. She came up front. God touched her. God blessed her. Gave her a refilling of the Holy Ghost. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. I talked to her later. She said, Pastor, she said, what nobody knows is that the spirit of suicide was so strong in my life. I don't remember what kind of pills it was. It don't really matter. But you had a bag of them at home. Seemed to me it was like over 100. Could be wrong. It was a bunch of pills. And she said that spirit of suicide had so attached itself to her that she just thought, I need to end it. My life is worthless. So much suffering, so much junk, so much all this stuff. My life is worthless. I just want to end it all. And that spirit of suicide constricted her and got tighter and tighter and tighter until she knew how she was going to do it. She had it all planned out. And she was going to do it that day. But even with a spirit of suicide so attached to her, she could still come to God. And she came up here, and the power of the Holy Ghost got a hold of her, and she prayed back through, and we got to working with her, and God got to working with her. And let me tell you something, there's not a greater lady, more spiritual lady in this church than her. She mails out, I don't know, 10 or 15 letters every single week to people in the church in order to strengthen them and minister to them. She has a love for the body of Christ. She has an anointing of the Holy Ghost upon her. She's doing what God has called her to do. She's a prayer warrior. She's doing things great for the kingdom of God. I don't care what the spirit is. I don't care if it's a spirit of suicide. It doesn't matter what it is. You can come to God. Put your hands together, give him praise. Why don't you stand to your feet now and give God praise in this house? Come on, I'm done. Put your hands together. Lift your voices now. Lift your voices. I want us to create the atmosphere.